Hey, you want to be part of the show? We have sponsorship opportunities available right now. Spread your message to physical therapists more than 50,000 times a month right here on PT Pintcast. To partner with our show, email jimmy@ptpintcast.com. The first round is on Owen's Recovery Science. Owen's Recovery Science is a single source
for PTs,
OTs,
ATCs,
DCs,
and other medical professionals
seeking certification
in personalized blood flow restriction rehabilitation training. Find out more and get certified
at owensrecoveryscience.com. In this episode, we sat down with one of my former professors from Marymount University, Jason Craig, who, besides being a PT professor, created morphopedics.com. That's one of the web's leading sources for orthopedic physical therapy information. We talked about the site and how it was conceived and currently being added to, where PTs and new PTs should focus their energy to improve, and getting comfortable with being uncertain. The best conversations happen at happy hour.
Welcome to ours.
Can't get enough of it.
This is PT Pintcast. It's a podcast about physical therapy.
How could you not love it?
We talk PT, drink beer, and record it.
I'm your host, physical therapist, Jimmy McKay.
All right, the best conversations happen at happy hour. Welcome to ours. The next episode of the PT Pintcast happens right now. Still at the APTA Next Conference, we are on the last day here in Boston. I'm joined with one of my former professors, Jason Craig. Jason, welcome to the show.
Hey. Good to be here.
I want to thank my professors at Marymount early. I want to do this and know that it can't be a butt kiss moment because you guys can't give me grades anymore.
Oh, that's true.
They're all turned in.
Oh, well, we could try.
You could try to take some of the grades back. When we started this podcast, I really had no idea what we were doing, but I was pushed and told to keep going by my professors at Marymount, and I wanted to do something I think comfortable, which was interview people I knew. So I asked all my professors, hey, would you be on this show that doesn't really exist yet? And you and other members said, yes, but not now. And I was like, okay, but why? And your explanation to me, which I now understand, I now agree with, and you were like, if you just interview your professors, people are going to be like, here's a student who just talks to his own professors, which doesn't say anything.
Right.
So thank you for doing that. But then I was like, but I just want to talk to people I know. Please just talk to me.
But look how many people you know now.
I know lots of people.
You see, you know more people than I do now, which is great.
Which is fun. So where are we going to start? We wanted to start with a project that you began. I don't even know when you began it because we all got indoctrinated into this project while we were in PT school as students at Marymount got to work with it. We all got to contribute to it as students who went through the program. So I want you to talk about a little bit what it is and how you started it.
Where are we at? 2017, so about 2009. We were in Baltimore. This conference, before it was the next conference, the PT conference in the summertime, we were in Baltimore. I went to a talk. They were talking about engaging students in student assignments, but they were doing it in a slightly different way, trying to get more use of technology and talking about things like wikis. Now, in academia, when you say wiki, everybody jumps to Wikipedia, mm-hmm. and then they bring out pitchforks and torches and burn you at the stake and stuff like that. So I went back to kind of look at this idea to see how could we use technology to help students to do the work that I needed them to do, but also possibly have an outlet for it.
Okay, so what is a wiki?
It's basically a sharing platform, and that's what it was designed for. A guy in California had a couple of buddies that were working with him in technology out in Hawaii, and he needed a way to be able to communicate on a project with them in sort of real time so that they weren't having version 1 and version 5 and version 5A of every document
being redundant.
So what they did was he created this platform whereby multiple people can sign in and can then edit and create, and there's then a history track so you can see who did what, where, when, why. What that then evolved to, which the Wikipedia idea is essentially it's a huge platform where people can contribute, which is why academics don't like it because it's not refereed, it's not
peer-reviewed,
none of that. And so that's where people got kind of freaked out. Taking the platform and being able then to use that platform and that idea with student assignments, I thought, well, that will be kind of a novel idea. Having no sort of thoughts or great grandiose predictions as to what would happen with it, I just thought it would be fun. I thought, I mean, if I'm a student in orthopedics and I have to write a paper on a particular condition, well, it would be a little bit more interesting if that paper was more live than just words on page.
Right.
And so with the wiki, because it's web-based, you can then bring in video, images, audio, whatever.
Links, citations.
Everything. That becomes a bit more of a living document than just an assignment.
As a student who used it, when you knew it was actually going to be seen by someone other than your professor, given a grade and then never heard from again, it made it more real and relevant.
Right. I didn't even think of that. I just had students coming up and saying, hey, this is really awesome because I wrote a web page. It's like, well, okay, well done, you did, you know, but you wrote my assignment, but I guess it's not on my office floor like all the other assignments that ended up on my office floor. And so that's what we did. We just kind of, I just kind of played with it. I threw it out there. I called it Morphopedics. Because when I was growing up as a kid watching television, there was a little clay character whose name was Morph. And there was an animated thing, sort of still animation thing, that where they would just take him and he would walk across a desk and then he would kind of just mold into all sorts of things. And I thought, well, we're taking orthopedics and we're taking something that's moldable and malleable. And so that's where Morphopedics came out of it. So we did it. We ran it with the first class. And when you got a class of 35, you get 35 pages written one semester.
Right.
So when you're going to sort of launch something, put something out there, you know, content is king. You put 35 pages of content together within a 10-week period, that's sizable. I didn't actually put it out, promote it. There's no promotional work that's been done on it at all. But we kind of just put it up there. Made it look like it does, just a little bit of uniformity. Locked it down in terms of the only people that can contribute to it. Now, apologies if you have emailed me and asked to become a contributor. If you're not in our program, I won't let you be a contributor.
So there is some control, and that's where people get nervous about Wikipedia.
Yeah, yeah, I have control over it. So all the pages that you see up there on that site, all the clinical syndromes are all student work. So students have done these assignments as part of our programming and our courses. We review it. We grade it. Not everything that a student has done is up there. There are some that didn't pass the muster. Yeah, I mean, it's an assignment. If your assignment's no good, it's not going to get broadcast to the world. But if it's okay, if it's decent, and if it's, you know, it's sound, it may not be the most stunning piece of work ever, but it's fine. It's the information that people are going to use. So we just put it together. And so 2009 was the idea. 2010 was the first class. And so every year for the next 5 or 6 years or so, I added 35 or 36 or 40 new pages.
Wow.
And I didn't write any of them.
Yeah.
Which was great.
It's brilliant.
It was awesome.
Work sharing.
Yeah. I mean, that's what it was. And then I never thought about it in terms of a wider sort of implication until I got an email from somebody in Sydney, Australia, who had TMJ issues.
This is a clinician or just a person?
It's just a
patient.
Person. It's just a person. Emailing me, because I'm the only email that's on the site, emailing me asking if I could refer them to a physio in Sydney, Australia, who could help them with their TMJ. I'm like, why?
Now, you do have an accent, but you're not from Australia.
Not from Australia, no. I grew up in Belfast in Northern Ireland. And I'm like, how did you get my name? And then it comes back that, oh, I saw your website. I'm like, I don't have a website. And then they sent me the link. I'm like, oh, that site, Morphopedics. Okay. Whoa, hang on. So I started to put some Google Analytics on it just to kind of see what was going on, and then was really horrified and shocked. Because the last time I looked, there were somewhere around 60,000 hits a month.
Wow.
On that website. And it's just insane.
And again, you do how much promotion to get the word out there about Morphopedics.com?
Nothing.
Besides me saying it right there, it really hasn't been shared at all.
No.
But it comes up because of why. How do people find it?
I think the reason that it came up and really started to come up was because when we started this, there wasn't anything that was that sort of sizable. There were a number of things. And there's some other great websites out there, some great wiki sites and stuff that are great in the PT world. But I think because of the quality of the work that the students had done, because, again, this is a student assignment. They want a grade for it, so they're going to make sure that it's all...
These are PT students. We sweat about our grades.
Yeah, they're smart people. And so the quality of the work, and then what starts to happen is when search engines start grabbing hold of your stuff and they realize that your stuff is coming up and it's quality material, then, you know, Google gets a hold of it and that's it. And so I think that the funny thing for me is when, you know, you type in something, a condition of some sort, into Google, just looking for something real quick, and your own website pops up. It's like, what?
Yeah.
Is there nobody else doing something on this?
Well, we didn't know about it because, again, you don't even promote it to the students at Marymount University. We found it by accident because we have a class called Tutorial where we have to take patient cases and in groups of 8 students or less, we have to review. And we started, you know, Googling the terms of the case that we don't understand. And this website kept coming up until one of my classmates was like, this is Jason's website. And we're like, oh. Then we started to get like, trying to get in your mind, I'm like, do you think some of this information is wrong on purpose to try to mess with us? And I'm like, no, it's on the internet. Okay, I think it's safe. But we tripped on it the same way by just looking for these terms that were pretty specific to PT. And that was the first or second link in Google, which is huge.
Yeah. because there wasn't anything out there.
Right.
You know, there just wasn't anything out there. I think what really kind of kicked things up a notch for us in terms of with Morphopedics and the input that it's had is we started to, I had a transition from stepping out of teaching orthopedics into another role as faculty in our institution. And in the process of that, my last semester of teaching, I filmed all of our lab sessions in our classroom. I filmed them because I didn't know who was coming in and I wanted to provide something for them.
Continuity.
Yeah, just a, hey, this is what I've done. Mm-hmm. You know, the labs are going on. Just throw a video camera in there. I mean, the quality's not great, but, you know, it was just to give them an idea. After the course was done and during the spring semester, I just kind of sat with those recordings and I chopped them down into sizable little pieces and, you know, a shoulder eval of half a dozen objective tests. It takes about 10 minutes of video, so put a video together, throw it up there, put it up onto my own personal YouTube channel because I didn't even think about calling it anything else.
Right.
And so there with, you know, the three videos of my children, and then there's 200 and something videos of orthopedic, either classes or labs or the students just did Therex type right. stuff.
That was my class. Yeah, we did that.
Then I realized that I started getting notification that so-and-so's followed your YouTube channel. I'm like, what? Why would they do that? So-and-so's followed. Until we're now at somewhere around 5,000 followers and 2 million different views on stuff. Again, I appear in, Foot and Ankle. I think that's the only ones that I appear in. And everything else is
students.
Wow. Or adjunct faculty or colleagues teaching stuff. So it's hilarious to me that this is being used by so many people. But then it's also a little bit sort of sad that nobody else is really doing that
right.
and meeting that need.
Well, I should say that, you know, we've talked about this because in a roundabout circle kind of way, the students from University of Southern California, the prehab guys, have now grabbed Instagram and are kind of doing right. something similar. So you were the prehab guys before the prehab guys were, well, almost born. But they have an Instagram account. I have no idea. 150, there may be 200,000 followers.
Right.
But they did the same thing. The idea was, let me give people short, quick ideas about exercises or yeah. lectures, but, you know, make it digestible and bite-sized and just put it out there. And even they said, the beginning, we had no idea what this is going to be. We did it because we thought the content was good and should be shared. And, you right. know, they didn't do much promotion at first. And they said, next thing you know, it's got a momentum of its own. It snowballs. And that's what Google tries to be, is an organic search right. engine.
And I think, I mean, I don't know those guys at all, but I think that you've got to, when you find yourself in the middle of this, and I made this decision a number of years ago. I mean, I'm not gonna monetize it at all. You know, for me, the material should be readily available. And so we don't even sell ad space on our site. The only ad that we have is actually you.
Yeah, my link's in the top left
corner. Whenever you started yours, I thought, oh, we'll just stick Jimmy up here because apparently a bunch of students read this stuff. So,
well, coming full circle, I interviewed the prehab guys at CSM CSM? Anaheim? San Antonio. Sorry, they all blend together. San Antonio, and I interviewed those guys, and a week after that, they emailed me very nice saying, thanks for having me on the show, and then they gave me a screenshot of Morphopedics. They must have been doing their work, came across your page, saw my logo, and said, how'd you get on this page? So full circle there from the prehab guys.
That's funny. That's funny. Yeah. You got on that page because they're like, I'll just stick Jimmy's stuff up here.
So give examples. So we have exercise videos on Morphopedics. You've got what else?
So if you look on the, and this is going from memory, I don't even have a screen in front of me, but if you look on the menu on the left-hand side, primarily where we started was clinical syndromes. So it was really an idea of taking I gave each student a different clinical syndrome. And a clinical syndrome being something like, you know, osteoarthritis of the hip. Or, you know, adhesive capsulitis, something like that. So they had to then go and do some research. Now, if you open up a page, you're going to find that all the pages have a very similar
format,
sort of formatting yeah. because I didn't want it to be all chaos. I wanted it to kind of have some structure. And so there's a structure through the page, each page of the clinical syndromes where you can go through, you can find some background, you know, the etiology, that sort of stuff, just how things develop, what sort of videos there are. You can link out the YouTube videos and stuff, what's available in terms of x-rays or that sort of set of thing, right the way down through to the bibliography at the bottom.
Yeah.
So every page has a bibliography. Now, that was 1 year. So I think there's 70-something or almost 80 of those clinical syndromes. So a couple of years of doing those. And then the next thing that we kind of thought about was, well, that's nice to know what the clinical syndrome is. What's the PT?
Okay.
So we took a year where we looked at PT evaluation. So we took top to toe, TMJ. If you think about top of your head all the way down to your feet, what are the different joints that you can evaluate? And what are the special tests? What do they mean? What's positive, negative? And that was an assignment. So I think the students paired up for those. And so we basically then created over that semester an entire catalog of special tests for all the joints, orthopedic, up and down the chain. That, so now you've got, here's a clinical syndrome, here's the background, here's the information, here are the tests that you would do if that particular right. region is impacted. We didn't do it by syndrome, we did it by region. So if that region is impacted, here's what you can do, here's the test, and then we move from that into, so what do you do? And so the next thing was start to look at therapeutic exercise or treatments or modalities or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so, and some of the pages are better than others in that. Again, because it's a student assignment. So it's identify a syndrome that you like,
right.
that you're kind of excited about, and then go and do this part of the assignment with it. So yeah. some of the lesser things didn't quite make the cut. Mm-hmm. So if there's info missing on there, sorry about that.
All right. This sounds a lot, not to bring it back full circle, this sounds a lot like the talk that you and Sky Donovan and Diana Venskis from Marymount University gave this morning. What? So yep. what? Now what? You yep. know, you started with the what and the knowledge base, the lowest form of information that you're going for, and then you just kept expounding upon that
right.
and kept going.
Right.
Which is what we kept tripping over, and once we found orthopedics as students, you kind of didn't want to tell your classmates because you're like, wow, look at that. I sound so smart because everything's all in one spot, and I could even just go off because there's citations at the bottom, so I'll follow that rabbit hole too to say I found it over here. Didn't you read this paper? I sound so smart. That, as a student, was really helpful because right. it had everything in one spot. We knew it was correct because it was graded and then put up by a professor, so we felt safe.
Yeah, and that's what we wanted to try and do. I mean, when we started this, it was just a what thing. It really was. It was just an idea. So we play with it. I had no grand ideas with it. And then at some point, I kind of thought, after we'd had the syndromes done, I started to think about, well, that's great information, but so what? I mean, that doesn't really help you if you don't know how to get to that point.
Right.
So that's when we moved to the evaluation side of things.
Yeah.
And then the now what for us has really been, so now what do we do with it?
Right.
You know, I mean, through that time, I had people, you know, sort of contact me saying, hey, would you want to merge your site with my site? And you want to, like, no, I don't. Or, that just sounds like work. I don't really want to do that. You know, we'll pay you for this. I'm like, no, because then you're going to want to own something of mine.
Right.
And I don't want to deal with that. But what I do want to do is say, okay, and I talked to the students then about what was missing. So as you're working through this, if you're coming to this and you're looking at it, what are the pieces that you wish were still there? And that's where a lot of the Therex stuff kind of came from. It's like, so what do you do with a patient who has this condition or the syndrome? How do you have, and what we're working on at the minute over the summertime, is how do you create a series of therapeutic exercise where you get a patient who's, you know, really impacted by whatever the syndrome is, or they're not that impacted. Well, you've got to be able to graduate your Therex. So we're trying to create a sort of repository of Therex stuff.
Variations, again, progressions.
Yeah, short. 15, you know, 15 seconds, yeah. 30 seconds,
my
2 minutes.
My attention span is just that.
That's all you need, and you got to be able to pull it up on your phone.
Yeah, but not just as students. I mean, now that I've been out and working for almost a year, we just like good example. Oh, you know, I hadn't thought of that. Cool. Yeah, I can already think of two or three patients I could use that exact variation with. Yeah. And that's digestible. It's small. It's bite-sized. It's applicable. And right. I can use it today. And I don't have to take any notes on that. I just remember, oh, yeah, that bridge variation was really cool. I'll try that.
Yeah. And I mean, I've actually had a lot of patients have emailed me, but I've also had people from foundations and organizations that are like, hey, can we link your page onto our site? I'm like, okay.
Sure. Look.
And then I go back through that page really carefully and make sure everything is absolutely correct.
Button it up.
Yeah. Just like, oh, well, make sure all the links are working and stuff.
Right.
And that's the other thing, because everything's linked. There's nothing is stored on the site. So we just got to make sure that particularly for a foundation, that they want to have that
right.
link. I want their people to have, you know, good quality info whenever they go there.
Right.
But just looking at okay, where do we go with this? How do we, you know, what is the next step with mm-hmm. this? How do we make this where it was a student thing into now it can become a patient thing? Okay, so you've got this particular issue with your shoulder. Well, here's some strengthening exercises that you can help, you know, I want you to do them at home. And I know there's 101 apps out there, which is great. Go get one. But, you know, for me, I just can put it up there and make it easy.
Right. Especially for patients, because what happens when our shoulder hurts and we're a patient? We get WebMD, and eventually we have cancer.
Yes.
So that's not what we want. We want to be an evidence-based.
It's quite a quick progression.
Yeah, it's quick. Sometimes it happens. Next thing you know, my shoulder hurts, I've got cancer.
Just as you're typing.
I want to throw some quick love to our sponsor who brought us out here to Next in Boston, Arias Medical Staffing. Get you a job anywhere in the U.S. You can even bring a travel buddy. And no, it doesn't cost you anything to submit your information. Then they go look for jobs for you. You're not obligated to take anything unless you 100% want to go there. At that particular place, at that particular time, even help you with your resume, as most PTs don't like to type up that resume. AURUSmedical.com. That's AURUSmedical.com. I want to thank those guys for helping us out.
Think while you drink. Or wait, is it drink while you think? I can't remember. Do both. This is the PT Pinecast.
Rock Tape, more than just a tape company. Rock Tape keeps athletes of all levels moving stronger, longer.
With the world's best kinesiology tape,
topical pain relief,
mobility equipment,
and protective gear.
And now physical therapists can get 20% off their first purchase right now at shop.rocktape.com.
Just use the code PTPinecast at checkout to get 20% off.
That's shop.rocktape.com.
With the code PTPinecast for killer savings of 20% off.
Rock Tape, the world's best kinesiology tape.
Thought about a career as a traveling physical therapist? Arias Medical Group is a leading healthcare staffing agency offering full-time travel and direct hire career opportunities for PTs nationwide. Whether you're a new graduate or seasoned therapist, an exciting career is waiting for you. Dream it and live it with Arias. To learn more, call 1-800-340-2619 or visit ariusmedical.com. That's AURUSmedical.com.
Let's give a nice, warm welcome to...
We're back. It's so great to see you. Let's get back to the show now. How'd you get over here? Trained in Belfast, and what's your story? Where did physio begin for you?
Physio?
On the other side, do you call it a pond, or is that British? What do you guys do?
It's kind of a pond. I am actually a physio, not a physical therapist. So.
Okay. Well, what's the difference then?
What's the difference? It's like I said in one of our meetings earlier on today that APTA is getting excited about celebrating 100 years of physical therapy.
And right.
Yeah, the Charge Society of Physiotherapists in the UK celebrated about 12 or 15 years ago. But I was reminded by somebody else that it didn't begin there. It began in Sweden. But
I know who that was.
None of your listeners know that.
Emma Stokes, right? Yeah, she made sure. She's got the world pulse.
Yeah, she had to stick up for the Swedes and get a little jab in. No, I trained in Belfast. I'm actually from the States, but come from a military family. So we ended up...
I didn't know that.
There you are. Yeah, upstate New York.
What part?
Born in Syracuse.
Oh, all right. The city of hills.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I have no idea. I didn't stay there very long. Born in Syracuse, grew up in Indiana, and then moved out to Belfast.
At what age? How young?
Seven.
Okay.
Seven or eight. Did all my sort of formal schooling out there, went to university out there, graduated with my bachelor's in physiotherapy in, 1992.
Okay.
25th anniversary this year.
So
that's a little scary. Went straight from there into a PhD. Back in 92, one of the hot topics at the time was delayed muscle soreness.
Mm.
And so I spent 4 years giving about 400 people
DOMS
and their non-dominant biceps. Yeah, that was interesting.
Ooh.
And we treated it with everything we could think of, and nothing worked.
Oh, man.
So I have 4 years of pretty solid research and a PhD that basically can be summed up in nothing works.
Well, you figured out a lot of things that don't work. Maybe someone eventually will figure out, hey, there was that one thing Jason didn't try.
Yeah, in 20 years, they still haven't. Yeah. I read a paper the other day that quoted me and stuff, and I'm like, yeah, yours didn't work either, so great. I came to the conclusion that with DOMS, okay, for all you final years here studying for your licensure exam, DOMS is just a natural bodily response to exercise. You can't fix it, change it, stop it, or affect it.
Yeah.
And people will get upset with that, and that's okay. You can be wrong. But you just can't. It's got to run its course, and if you have it, then that's a good thing because you're going to get stronger the next time you do exercise.
Okay.
So did that, then taught.
Over in Belfast?
Taught in Belfast at the college there for a couple of years as an adjunct, then went on to faculty full-time whilst I was doing clinical work. So out there, I had a couple of clinics that I worked in. I worked with the Irish Field Hockey Association.
Yeah.
I was their travel PT for about 8 years. I was all over the world with them, which was pretty cool. Pretty good to sort of go and travel and see places. And then decided my wife was an elementary school teacher, and she decided she wanted to go and teach somewhere different. So in her mind, that was like the Italian Riviera or somewhere, which I thought, yeah, great. You're going to go and teach English to like six-year-olds, and I'm going to have to try and either be a PT in a clinic in a foreign language or teach PT in a school in a foreign language, and that ain't going to work. And so I did a web search on the East Coast. Went as far, I have family in the D.C. area, so I went as far as New York City, thinking four-hour drive, you can go for a weekend.
Right.
You don't have to be that close. And ended up settling at Marymount.
Yeah, Marymount and Arlington, just across the river from D.C.?
Yep. Settled right there in November 2000. So been there for 17 years.
Wow. What are some things that you've seen change the most in PT education in general, just in your time there at Marymount?
PT education. It's funny. The access to information now is ridiculous as to, compared to what we... When I was a student, okay, I started school in 88. Okay, 88 to 92. So it's not that long ago.
Right.
But in 88 to 92, if we were doing an assignment, we would go and get a microfilm reader. You know, you then put it in, you have to scroll through and try and find a journal article title.
Kids right now are Googling microfilm, which is the ironic part to figure out what you're talking about.
Yeah, that's like James Bond stuff. And then I remember when PubMed first came out.
It blew your mind.
Yeah, because it was a CD.
Oh, really?
They sent a CD to the library every 6 months.
Ooh.
So you would wait for the new CD to come in to get all of the journal citations off it. Otherwise, you were in the stacks looking at Index Medicus. You had to write down the article. You had to give the card to a librarian. And 3 weeks later, magically, a journal article would arrive.
Ooh, and hope you didn't write down the wrong number.
3 weeks. So that's how it was.
Right now, if my phone doesn't open up something in 30 seconds, I think the internet's broken or my phone's broken.
Right.
That's too long.
Right. Well, you don't... I mean, I would wonder how many people that listen to this actually know that there's more than one page when they do a search.
Right. If it's not in the top three, I don't really scroll down.
No. They're done.
Wow.
So I think the access to information is huge. The funniest thing is the human body hasn't changed. Anatomy, physiology, I mean, even most of the techniques that we do in PT, really, they haven't changed that much. And there's all the newfangled things. I know you all just calm down. Email Jimmy McKay at the Pinecast. But how the body heals is no different.
Right.
And so, you know, I think that we kind of get a little bit freaked out about that. That we have to do the new thing. We don't want to do an old thing. Like, why? The old things work.
Right.
And you just want to make sure that you're effective and that you're going to be beneficial. So I think there's a huge amount of pressure on students. And I see, I mean, not just the financial side of things, but then there's this pressure that you've got to be absolutely correct. And there's very little in PT that's absolutely correct. You've got to understand the information. You've got to learn your stuff, but you've got to be able to think on your feet. You've got to be able to go sideways really quickly. So as a patient comes in with a condition and you hear and you're listening to the story and you're talking to them, you've got to be able to take that information and filter it through all the different layers that you've got to then think, okay, where am I at? What am I dealing with here? I think there's a difference in the UK and the States. First thing that I really was shocked about was the number of MRIs that are done.
Oh, we love to scan.
Oh, they scan everything. In Belfast, we only had two MRI scanners in the country.
Wow.
And it was a 6 to 8 week waiting list for an MRI scan. So it just wasn't something that we did. Yet here, you know, it's like the first step. And I don't think that it's absolutely necessary all the time as a first step. So a lot of times we would get patients in, work with a patient, all your handling techniques, all your testing techniques, and you would be able to identify pretty accurately what's wrong with them.
Without that MRI.
Without a scan.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I mean, it was almost like a game that we'd play because you get a scan to see if the scan's right, you know.
It's almost the exact opposite.
Yeah.
We see if we can confirm the scan almost.
Yeah. And that's the scans for us were used just to see if what we said.
Wow.
I mean, that's the difference, I think that we, you know, here in the U.S. have got to really, really understand that we can know what's going on. You know, we can have a fairly good idea as to what's happening inside those tissues without having to have an x-ray or a scan to kind of confirm or to make us feel better. I think that as you work with a patient with that, you set up your hypothesis of what you think is wrong, your treatment should pretty quickly tell you that you're right or wrong.
Right.
Because the patient should get better. There should be a change. Make them better or make them worse. I don't care which one.
But no change is bad.
No change is terrible. No change is you've done nothing. They have no change sitting on their couch. So at least if you make them worse, then you can figure out what did I do? What did I impact? Which structure was involved? Oh, that's what I did, which means that that's a problem. All right, let me reverse it. Let me go back and then treat it in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And you should start to see beneficial change.
Yeah. Goes along with what you guys talked about this morning, which developing clinical reasoning in school, with current PT students.
Right. That's part of the thing. I think students want to know that there's only one thing wrong with the patient, and that there's a textbook that will tell you exactly mm-hmm. what that is.
Yeah.
You know, or a website.
Right.
You know, you can go on to Morphopedics. Oh, well, they have these.
It must be this.
It must be this. Well, it could be that. And hold that as your hypothesis until you test it and disprove it or test it and prove it. And then when you start your treatment, your hypothesis can shift and change. I think that there's sometimes an element of this is the diagnosis and the diagnosis is never changing. Well, the diagnosis has to change, otherwise you're not effective. Right? Overall, what you started was with this ruptured ligament, but it was a 70% tear. hopefully by the time your treatment is complete, there's scar tissue healing and right. transformation is taking place where there's no longer only 30% of tissue that's intact. There should now be 100% tissue, albeit some with scar tissue. So your diagnosis has changed a little bit. Your treatment should work alongside that.
Yeah.
You look at that, you look at the way that, you know, the body is, there's some things that change and some things that don't.
Yeah. Yeah.
You just need to be comfortable with the things that don't.
And that's what I think students are not, because we take tests. You know, I've been out of school for less than a year. We take tests. We want to be right. We want to prove that I wanted to prove that I belonged there. I could absorb this information and I could analyze it and synthesize it and give you the right answer.
Right.
And then it's the old, well, you're going to work with a person, not a Scantron sheet.
Right.
And you need to be comfortable with that left and right instead of just straightforward. Right.
The other thing I think which schools really need to promote, and we try and promote this in our school, is that for a student, if you say to the student, okay, just find studying, and that what they'll say to you is, oh, I have a group. We have a group of friends, and we get together every whatever night, or we meet in this location, and we ask each other questions, and we go and prep something, and then we come and talk about it. And that, to a student in PT school, is essentially what studying is.
Right.
For me, that's only half of studying. See, what we want you to do is not whenever you get into the clinic to be able to sit down and talk to your patient about everything that there is about that condition. We want you to actually sit down with your patient, put your hands on your patient, and make your patient better. But you don't get better with your hands unless you actually practice.
Right.
So we've been pushing our students in Marymount in particular to try and make sure that they spend as much time practicing their skills as they do reading journal articles.
Right, and we heard it from multiple professors at Marymount in particular, I'm pretty sure, you know, lots of other schools, is practice on all your classmates, because once you start working, you're not gonna have you're gonna realize how little time you have to actually
right.
practice doing things.
Yeah.
And that's true.
Yeah, you can't practice in the clinic.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you really can't. I was talking to somebody earlier on this morning about this. If I think about my career, I mean, here I am, 25 years after graduating, how many people have I physically touched in the clinic? How many people have I had my hands? How many backs have I palpated? So I have a scale in my head and in my fingertips as to what's stiff, what's loose. And my scale has thousands of points on it, because every person I've palpated fits somewhere on that scale.
Mm-hmm.
You've been out for a year. So there were 30 people or so in your class. So let's say you had the luxury of palpating every one of them.
Right.
During. So there's 30.
On my first day as being a PT, I only had 30.
You had 30.
Right.
You have 30 points on your chart of what loose and what stiff is.
Right.
And so that's all your scale is.
And then you add to that is most, and I'm being general, most PT students are in, you know, decent shape. We're young.
Right.
So you're not feeling a pediatric patient or a geriatric
no.
patient.
Or a stiff one.
Right.
No, there's very little OA and stuff. So when you come out, that's what you do. You've got to practice. Now, as a student, if you practice on everybody, then you add check marks on that list, on that scale.
Yeah.
And so, oh, that's the stiff one. That's not. That's it. And you get that sense of touch. You know, one of the things that I think that could potentially get lost in our profession is that we when we started as a profession, we started as handling specialists. We started, the Swedes were massage specialists. And people, PTs are like, oh, I don't do that. It's like, that's the foundation of where we begun, was in hands-on massage. And then what that developed into. And so now it's like, well, we're all about movement, which is great. I get it. But we still have to have that sense of touch.
Yeah.
Have to have that sense of contact. You know, if you think about people that you know, you've got a friend and something tragic happens in their life. Well, what do you do? Do you just sort of speak words of advice to them, or do you give them a hug? Well, you typically give them a hug. Why? Not because you don't know what to say, but because that says more through the physical contact than any word that you can come up with.
Yeah.
You know, whenever you jammed your finger in the door the other day, well, what do? You rub it.
Yeah.
Why do you rub it? Because of the physical contact and what that then releases. And so I think that we need to make sure as a profession that we don't get so far removed from our touch.
Literally don't lose touch.
Yeah. That we, you know, we don't end up just too full of head knowledge to be no good.
What's coming next for Morphopedics? What's the next iteration? What are we going to bring to it?
I don't know. Dancing girls?
Yeah. I could see that spiking downloads.
That would be an interesting page, wouldn't it? What we're working on this summer is, and probably up to Christmas time, probably going to be looking really at therapeutic exercise. Might do some more videos on some hands-on techniques, some Maitland mobilization stuff. Might get into the classroom a little bit more this year and just grab some video. I want to look and see what needs to be updated as well. Mm-hmm. You know, it's been a few years for some of that stuff.
Refresh it.
Yeah, just cool. Make sure that it's where it should be. But again, I got 100 students in the whole program.
Yeah.
That are at different stages and could do different things.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where I see us going, unless somebody who listened to this is like, hey, could you do this or could you do that? Or
could have a good idea.
What about this? And then I'll encourage them to do it.
I like it. Website again is morphopedics.com. That is morphopedics.com. Our every episode that we record is a pint. And before we're done with pints, we do shots.
This is the parting shot.
Powered by Optum. Optum offers weekend courses that are Monday morning applicable, utilizing approaches that make sense.
They promote excellence in hands-on treatment, exercise prescription, pain science, and clinical reasoning, offering a COMT,
as well as an APTA-accredited fellowship in orthopedic manual therapy, both online and in-person mentoring, with locations in Houston, Dallas, and Scottsdale, Arizona. Find out more online
at OptumFellowship.com.
What's one little bit of wisdom that you'd want the audience to leave this episode with?
As a DPT student, you want to be comfortable in the tension of that requirement or that internal demand to have an exact, precise answer, and that frustration that can sometimes exist because you can't get all the pieces to come together. For PT students, and I mean therapists that you talk to and you go out to your CIs and stuff, they get to a point where they're like, I think it's this, and that drives students insane. And that's what we call that an area of tension, because we only have so much information pointing towards one direction, but as we do things with that patient, then the picture often becomes clearer. And frustration I see with students is they want the clear image right now. Okay, if you go back to Indiana Jones, okay, so you got to go back. It was a DVD. In fact, it was probably on video.
Oh, it was on VHS, yeah.
So go back to the VHS, look for Indiana Jones. But what happens, there's a scene where he's standing at the edge of a cavern where he's run through, he's trying to get to the treasure. And he stops at the edge of this cliff, this huge chasm, and there's nothing in front of him. But he has to get to the other side. There's no rope, there's nothing apparent. And he has to step out because he's been told that there's a bridge.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And as he steps out and he takes that first step and puts his foot down, there is an invisible bridge that only becomes apparent whenever he takes the first step. And I think a lot of times with our patients, we want to see the whole picture. We want the bridge to be in place. We want it all to be secured before we're willing to step out. But I think as a student and even as a therapist, whenever you get those complex patients, you've got to sometimes go with your gut, step out, and then when the bridge holds, you continue to walk that line. If the bridge starts to shake, then you can reevaluate and see if you should step in a slightly different direction. But don't get paralyzed and not step out.
I like it very much. Jason Craig, creator of morphopedics.com, also professor at Marymount University. Appreciate you taking some time out, especially at a busy conference like this when you're speaking a bunch of times and shedding some knowledge.
Hey, no problem. Good to be here.
The PT Pintcast is a product of PT Pintcast, LLC.
It is hosted and produced by PT Pintcast CEO, Jimmy McKay, and CBO, Sky Donovan from Marymount University.
We talk PT, drink beer, and record it.
This has been another pour from the PT Pintcast.
The PT Pintcast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. Our lawyers made us read that.
Our home on the internet.
PTPintcast.com.
Created by BuildPT. BuildPT provides marketing services specifically for private practice PTs.
From website development and hosting,
to providing content marketing solutions
for PT clinics across the country.
See what BuildPT can do for you today
at BuildPT.com.
Hey, you want to be part of the show? We have sponsorship opportunities available right now. Spread your message to physical therapists more than 50,000 times a month right here on PT Pintcast. To partner with our show, email
Jimmy@ptpintcast.com.